Hard Drive DL is brought to you by Discover. Visit them at discover.com.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everybody, Paulie here in fabulous Las Vegas, and I have the pleasure of sitting down right now with Mike Prodich from Red Sun Rising. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, man, in Vegas.
I mean, Vegas is always good. You know, they do a nice rock radio convention out here every year, so it's always a good time to get out and mingle with our peers and just kind of hang with the guys and bands. And, you know, it's almost like you don't have to do work, but then we make you do interviews.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, we expect it. It's all good.
Is it easier for you coming to an event like this rather than, like, a festival or something where, you know, there's time where you have to get on stage and you have to work, but then there's other times where you can kind of just, like, hang out and be a human being?
Yeah, I think the festivals are actually kind of chaotic in a way. So, you know, the shows are great, but behind the scenes, and every musician would know what I'm talking about, it's way more chaotic. So this is kind of nice. It's a little more relaxed, so I dig that.
And fortunately, we only got you guys for the day. You have to fly out and do more work tomorrow. But we are so close to the release of the new album now. You've got to be just like chomping at the bit, ready to get this thing out.
Literally, we are. And that's why we're going to release a couple songs before the album even gets out. And, you know, we're excited about that. And we're excited to see how it reacts with people. And we're really proud of it.
So when did the writing start for this album?
It actually started while recording Polyester Zeal, the first record. You know, me in particular and Ryan, you know, when we're in the creative process, we just keep writing up until the last second that we're in the studio. So even though we're past the point of adding new songs to the record, we're still writing in the studio and the downtime in the studio. So, you know, when we left the studio from Polyester Zeal, we already had ideas that we could work on, you know, that next summer while we were touring. And then those ideas developed and we added new ones. So while we were on the road, so we were kind of always writing. We never really stopped.
So are you one of those bands that can write while you're on the road?
In parts and pieces. So it's like a riff here, some lyrics or a melody here, but, it really takes, you know, we have to take some time off the road and be like, we're going to take this week and get together and hash out some new ideas.
So you had, you know, bits and parts of songs worked out already when you started kind of the finalization process. About how much time did you spend kind of ironing these things out and making sure all the demos were good to go before you started to record?
We actually went through a couple phases. The first one was we had been touring for, you know, 2 years basically, and we took 2 weeks and got this cabin up in northern Illinois by Fox Lake, and if anybody knows where that is. But it's a summer town basically, so in the winter it's just desolate, and we were in this cabin, snowed in this cabin. We brought like a mobile recording rig, and we just lived together for 2 weeks, and that's when we made the biggest jump in the songs. But it was also interesting because this was the first time that this band, these members in particular, even though we've been touring together, actually wrote a record together. So I think we really became a band during that process, and everyone kind of figured out where their role would be in the songwriting and what their strengths were. And so, yeah, we learned a lot in that 2 week little thing. And then we, you know, went back on the road and did that again about 6 months later. And we did that three times before we even recorded the record.
I feel like a lot of bands are doing that these days. I'm hearing a lot of these stories of them kind of getting away and getting into the wilderness and just getting in touch with, you know, their inner muse. I know 3 Days Grace, they finished writing their last album. They were out in the woods doing it. Red did the same thing. I think it's an exciting new trend. I want to see more bands like lock themselves in a cabin and come out with like their magnum opus.
Yeah, I think it's important because you don't have to worry about the stress of a normal day. You just literally can let your mind wander and just work until you can't anymore. And it really allows your mind to really expand and just focus on being creative. And then that is, you know, perfect for, you know, making a great, you know, a great record, great music.
So where did you end up recording, and did you work with a producer on that?
Yeah, we actually did it with Matt Hyde. He's done a lot of artists that we love, you know, like AFI and Deftones, and he's really good about getting some really, you know, cool tones and making the band authentic to what they sound like live. And that's what we really wanted. And he's one of those guys that will try anything in the studio, like even if it's the weirdest thing you could imagine. And he's down to put on weird instruments, and we were so excited to play with that. And when we got to Sonic Ranch down in Tornillo, Texas, it's literally in the middle of the desert, so another desolate area. And it's a beautiful studio, and it's like a we're like kids in a candy shop. Like, they have so much old vintage gear that's just amazing that we got to play with and put on the record. And we tried so many guitars and amps, and it gave each song its own identity. We didn't just be like, here's the guitar tone for the record, or here's the drum tone for the record. We're switching kits, we're switching guitars, amps throughout the whole record. And you'll hear that when you listen to the whole record, that it's like a box of chocolates. Like, each song is different. You never know.
What was the weirdest or coolest thing you were able to put on there?
We found this little tiny piano. It was like a little grand piano. It was maybe 2 feet long, like the whole thing, and had this little tiny keyboard. But it was made like a real piano. So it had the little hammers and everything. And Rick, our bass player, started playing it, and he started playing this really one of the riffs that we had. He started playing it on that, and it sounded so creepy. It was like a little kid's like clown toy or something. So we're like, we got to put this on the record. It was from like 1923 or something. And it's kind of out of tune, but it's still, it was in tune enough that it worked. And it sounds really eerie and creepy on the record. And we were stoked to have it on there.
So the album is named Thread. And anyone who's been a fan of you guys for a while now will understand where that came from. But for those folks who are new to Red Sun Rising, kind of give us a little background on We Are Thread and what that means for you guys.
Yeah, Thread really kind of started when we were, finishing up Polyester Zeal, the first record. And, when we started doing interviews for the first time, because we were independent up till then. We never did, like, radio interviews and talked about our music. And the common question was, like, how would you guys describe your sound? We didn't really have an answer for that, because we didn't want to be a rock band. We didn't want to be a metal band or an alternative band, because I feel like people are starting to get a little obsessed with the labels of what music is called. We're like, we just want to write really good songs, and you can call it whatever you want. And so we decided to call it Thread, which is kind of an anti-genre genre. We just want to be a band. That's it.
And I think you guys do that very well. You know, you have this very complex tapestry of music that you guys write, and the fact that you are kind of going further with that in this new album. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to hear the whole thing yet. I'm really excited to, though, because just listening to the evolution from Polyester Zeal to the songs that you guys are putting out now, I mean, it's not like you're bad songwriters, but there is, like, this evolution in the music that I think has just been great for you guys, so I'm really excited to hear it.
Thank you, and we're excited for you to hear it, for sure.
Let's talk about a couple of those songs right now, and let's start with the single Death Wish. Tell me what was kind of running through your mind when you wrote that one.
That song was it was kind of interesting how it came together, and if you listen to it, it is a little bit progressive. There's a lot of parts, and we had all these parts, and we're like, how are we going to make this work? And we just kept jamming it as a band and messing with the different drum patterns that we had for each part, and we finally just kind of made all those parts work. And we're like, is this too much? And we're like, no, it's not. Like, let's just do it and see what happens. And if anything, it was an experiment, and it just challenged us to be like, how can we make all these parts work together and still be digestible so the normal person can relate to it and want to listen to it? And, we don't write music for other people per se, but, we want people to enjoy our music. So there was a little bit of that. The song, it's a common thread in our style to have a beautiful melody or a really catchy melody, but really dark lyrics. And that song is definitely that.
Tell me, what's the percussion that's used in that? That's like that kind of rapid clicking towards the end of the song.
Oh, the castanets.
Yes.
And the funny thing about that is Pat didn't know how to play castanets, and he learned it in like 25 minutes.
Wow.
And we documented it. It's hilarious. Like, hit first him struggling, and then like 20 minutes later, he's just like killing it. We're like, we have to put it on there.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
The artwork for the album is pretty trippy. I wanted to talk about that, but actually I skipped around a little bit. Let's get back to the song, and then I want to talk about the artwork. The video for Death Wish is, like, again, really dark, really creepy. Yeah. Do you guys come up with the ideas for the videos yourselves? Are you soliciting treatments from directors? How's that work?
So we did solicit some treatments for some from a lot of directors, and we just didn't like anything. And we're like, I don't know why we're just not just taking over this. And we did. So we kind of got together as a band, and we created this idea. We sent it to our friend Brad, who was a director who ended up directing it. And he does short films. He does music videos as well, but his specialty is in like short films and kind of indie style. And that's how we wanted it. We wanted it to be like a short film, a little movie. And that's exactly how it turned out. And he nailed it. And he knew, you know, he was right on the same page with us with a lot of stuff aesthetically. And I think he nailed it. And it's a really cool short film with our music in it, basically.
So where you guys shot, I feel like the one of the guys you worked with, he was also in the Uninvited video, yeah?
Yeah. So that is Eddie, and the hippie-looking guy. And he lives in Columbus, and he's a really just a genuine guy. And Brad had him in the Uninvited video. He also did that one. And we're like, wouldn't it be cool if that their story kind of intertwined into this next video? You know, what would those two be doing on this day at the end of the world or the apocalypse? So we kind of continue that story into the Death Wish video, and it turned out really good. We actually shot that in Columbus, and being from Ohio, it was really cool to do something in Columbus and not like LA or New York. It was kind of refreshing in a way to do something there and make a that great of a video in Columbus.
I think you actually moved to Chicago, is that true?
Yep, I live in Chicago. I've been there for about 3.5 years. You know, Akron's still home, but you know, my family's all there. But yeah, Chicago's slowly becoming my new home, which is great.
Why the impetus for the move? Just needed a new place to hang, or what?
No, my wife actually.
Oh, okay.
So she moved me there.
All right, I understand that completely. my wife's trying to move us into the city right now, and I'm a guy who lived in the suburbs in Long Island his whole life, so I'm like,
It took me a while to get used to it, for sure. Like, because I, you know, Akron's a small town. It has enough in the downtown Akron area, but you know, like my neighborhood when I grew up, it's a quiet place. It's a farmland around it, and so it took me a while to get used to like city living. But you know, luckily I've been doing so much touring and being in so many cities, it wasn't like overwhelming. And now I like it. I like the kind of faster pace. But Chicago's not like New York or anything like that. It's still Midwest, you know, so it's calm.
Chicago's nice. I've been there a couple times. It's a very chill city. I'd love to visit it. I want to get back to music. Tell me a little bit about the song Fascination.
Fascination is one of those tunes that I had for a long time and just never could make it work. And I've played it acoustically so many times and never made it work with the whole band, because once we started adding other instruments, we couldn't figure out, you know, what was going on. And finally Pat had some really cool drum grooves that went right with the you know, right with the vibe, and we just finally got on the same page with everything, and you know, we just went with it. And it was one of those songs I was like so glad to finally get out, because it's like it's just been there, and I'm like, man, this song could be cool. I just can't quite get exactly what it needs, what it needed was those our other band members just adding their little flavor on it, and it finally became what it is, and now it's here, and I'm definitely proud of it.
Truly a collaborative effort between everyone in the band.
Yeah, musically, definitely, for sure. So we're excited about it.
There's a voice at the end of the song, and I can't quite make out what it's saying. Who is that, and are we supposed to know what they're saying?
You can guess what they're saying. I think the juxtaposition of the angry voice with the melancholy outro music kind of paints a picture of that scene, and hopefully can pull some emotion out of some people, and they can relate to maybe not even what they're saying, but the energy of what's happening there. So that's all we hope from that.
Is that somebody from the band doing that?
That is a recording.
Ah, okay.
So that is an actual recording. So, yeah, it might come out what it is, but not right now.
It'll remain a mystery for now. Yes, let's talk about the album artwork, because, you know, the cover for Polyester Zeal was this great work by a local artist, and I think there were all these kind of homages to Akron, if I remember correctly. You guys went a bit of a different way with this one, so tell me a little bit about how that cover came to be.
Basically, we wanted to keep up with the hand-drawn illustrations. I think it's really cool to move forward. Like, there's so much graphic design and photos, but I think that just the hand-drawn, we just love art in general, and we wanted to keep that trend going. So we found a couple artists, and we had a couple ideas for how to represent, you know, Red Sun Rising differently than, you know, the obvious moves of, like, you know, a sun or, like, so we're, you know, we started thinking about, you know, flowers and then we created the icons that you see in the flower that represent the band members, and it just kind of created this identity for us that we didn't have before, and it really just fit thread. It just kind of encompasses all these elements into these, you know, flowers, and I think they really represent the evolution of the music and you know, our growth as songwriters.
So the album is coming out March 30th. Tour plans, are they available yet?
Yeah, we got a big tour, our first headline tour ever, really. I mean, yeah, we've done little runs here and there, but this is our first full nation tour, and we start in Syracuse, New York, go all the way down and back through the Midwest and all the way out west, and we're excited about that, and it's going to be smaller clubs, so it's going to be intimate and packed out and fun, so if you want to come out and see just a fun show, just come out.
On a personal note, I will say that I've seen you guys play in a lot smaller venues, and it is a very intimate experience. So anyone listening to this interview, absolutely go out and see them on this run, because it's a night that you're going to remember for a long time. You guys are great live band, a great live band. You've been to a bunch of places on the Polyester Zeal run, including you made it to Russia and Japan.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys have already done a lot of global touring. Are there places that you haven't been to yet that you want to get to?
You know, it's funny because we were actually over there with over in Europe and with Skillet and then with Alter Bridge. Mm-hmm. And they both said, you know, like South America is just the most insane. If you think, because when we first went to Europe, we're like, these crowds are amazing. Not to knock on the American crowds, but they are different. It really is different. And they're like, man, when you see South America, though, that's insane. But yeah, Russia, Moscow, Russia was still one of my favorite shows, maybe of all time. That crowd was just so passionate. It was unbelievable. And they were so appreciative that we were there. It was truly amazing. It was like being the Beatles for a day.
That's got to feel real good.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, signs at the airport and everything. It was truly unbelievable. I can't wait to go back and see them.
How do they do that? Like, when you guys fly, are there fans there waiting for you at the airport? How do they know?
Well, there's really only one way in and out of Russia. Mm-hmm. And it's like flying into St. Petersburg or Moscow are like two of the main hubs. And if they know the show's there, they know we got to leave. And they'll literally look at the flights and where they're going, and they'll show up. They showed up at the train. They showed up at the airport. And, you know, we weren't used to that. You know, we're not like famous people. We're just musicians. And like, when somebody, you know, touch someone's lives that much that they want to be around you, it's really a cool feeling.
Did you stop to like sign things, take any pictures with fans?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we were eating it up. We were eating it up, and they appreciated it, and we appreciated them. So it was good.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, I understand the people who they're at a point in their career where they're a little jaded with the whole experience. They just kind of want to move on. But it's always cool, especially for a fan who's been, like, standing around 3 hours on the hopes that they'll catch you, to, you know, have your favorite musician come and just hang out with you for 30 seconds. It's absolutely worth it. So I'm glad you guys did that.
Yeah, and like I said, this club tour that we're doing, it's small and intimate. So a lot of people are asking if we're doing VIPs, and we're not going to do VIPs. We're going to just, you know, health-wise, we got to do a lot of shows, but we're going to try to hang out as much as we can with the people, and you know, I don't think people should have to, especially in this stage of our career, should have to pay to see us, to meet us. You know, I think that's kind of a little bit ridiculous, and I think that, you know, just because you have more money doesn't mean you can have priority to meet us. I think everybody should be able to. Like, the fan that waits 5 hours, you know, maybe they can't afford a VIP, but they deserve to be, you know, to meet us if they want to. And I think that's what we're going to try to do on this club tour, is just really hang with the people and as much as we can.
So are you just gonna be like hanging out at the merch table before your set, or how's that gonna work?
Yeah, or the bar around the corner.
There you go. All right, quick word to fans who were excited about the new album.
Thank you for all the support, and we are so excited to get this to you.
Beautiful. Mike Prodich, the band Red Sun Rising. The album Thread comes out March 30th. You're definitely going to want to grab this one.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.